TYF Temporary Employer Employee Relief Scheme officially comes to an end today, that is the end of June. It's been a mammoth undertaking that has paid out 26 billion rand odd to close on 6 million workers whose incomes were adversely affected by the nationwide lockdown effected in late March. But the process has not been without its hiccups and dramas, and several thousand people are awaiting payouts, which translates into untold social suffering. Well, to give us his reflections on the performance of the TERS scheme, I'm joined on the line by Makosonge Buthelezi. He's the spokesperson at the UIF. Thanks very much for joining us, Makosonke. So we understand that over 5.8 million workers have been paid out over 26 billion rand. But there are those who are close to about a million people who are still waiting to be paid out. And some applications were made as far back as April. Why are people still having to wait?
A variety of reasons. But the main one, broadly, I can put it as a lack of compliance by the employers. A bulk of those workers who are still waiting for their money are those that have not been declared to the fund. What employers sometimes do, or most of them, is they under-declare, I don't know, for whatever reason. And now this COVID-19, then they came for everyone, even for those that they did not declare. And these are the people that we can't find on our database. And declaration is one of our main controls to make sure that we don't just pay for anyone that is not on our database.
Yeah.
So you find that now there's delays, because then we say, tell us about these other workers that we don't know, that we can't find on our database. Now, almost each and every employer has that same problem now. All of them are trying to declare at the same time. And what happens now, they drop the system. The system cannot handle the volumes, both the system in terms of human capacity as well as the ICT system.
Mm.
Now there's a long queue in terms of the declarations. Now that is why some of them have not been paid. And the other category is when we have banking details that did not pass the validation stage, then we cannot transfer the money. And another category is when the employers did not furnish the information in the required file format. Some had failed to provide the details the way they are supposed to be provided, as we want them by the UIF. So there's quite a lot of reasons why that number that you mentioned is still outstanding.
Yeah. So why has there seemingly been a delay in each claim month? So, for example, we understand that for most April claimants only got their money in May, and in the meantime, employers were advised to only start claiming on behalf of their employees for June, only in late June. Why has this been the case?
I think there are various reasons. I think it started with when we started opening the system. Because you'd recall, when we started with the system, employers could submit their claims via an email, COVID-19 email. And we realized after a few days that this wasn't working, because you find that one employer is submitting about 45 files. Now, if you have 30,000 employers submitting that number of files, and you only have few officials who are manually checking each and every file, that couldn't work. Then we resorted that we should go on to the online system.
Right.
And we launched the online system on the week of the 10th of April. 10th of April, I remember that Monday, we launched the 15th. We developed the 15th, and on the 16th of April, we started paying. And already we were on the last day of the first lockdown, if you remember.
Mm.
I think that is why now we had this lag. We started late, but we were able to push with the April submissions because we were able to pay within 48 hours. But then we learned some lessons when we went into May.
Yeah.
And when we reconfigured the system. But the biggest issue why May was late is that on the week of the 9th of June, when we started, firstly, when we opened the system, I think on the 27th of May, then we had that cable that some mysteriously got damaged. That delayed us.
Right.
Sorry, that delayed us. And then we processed the claim. And then we picked up on the week of the 9th, we picked up some fraudulent activities. That's when we had to shut down the system to tighten the controls. So we lost 3 days during that time, but we have since managed to catch up. But the biggest thing is that with the fraudulent claims, we then tightened up the system.
Yeah.
If somebody has made some changes in the April applications, changes that look very suspicious to us, we treat it as an exception so that we can investigate further.
So who's been doing the fraud? Is it people internally or employers?
What we have discovered is, I'll give you an example of the one that is already out there. It is an individual who used to work for this company, who claimed on behalf of the company, who for some strange reason changed the banking details that were there of the company and put their own banking details, and the money was consequently landed into the account of that individual.
Right.
But there are other cases, this one and other ones, we are still investigating, getting deep into it as to whether there was collusion internally or there was maybe some weakness in the system and so forth. So that is why we also tightened up the issue of changing banking details, changing the profile, who can apply and all that.
Yeah, you guys are not dealing with chump change. So just give us an indication of the kind of leakage that you've seen in terms of the fraud.
I think likely it has been giving employers, some of the employers appointed certain people in their companies to apply on their behalf and load all the information of the employees and change the banking details and so forth. Now we've tightened up that, and there was also an issue where you could phone the call center and change the username or login name, login details if you wanted to get into the system. We have since taken those rights away from the call center. And we have also, I think those were the two major things. But we also trying to also see where is the transaction being made in terms of getting the IP addresses of the a machine where the applications are made and where the changes are made. So those are some of the issues that we are trying to close so that we will reduce incidents of fraud.
Yeah. So, Makosonke, the TERS scheme has obviously been a very big task, clearly. But we do understand that your usual claimants, you know, like those who are claiming unemployment insurance for non-COVID-related reasons, and those claiming for things like maternity leave, some of these people have expressed grievance that their matters haven't been attended to timeously because of the focus on the TERS scheme. Has resource allocation, you did talk about human capacity earlier, has resource allocation been a challenge during these past few months?
I think, let me just explain, the normal benefits, when you apply for normal benefits, you don't necessarily have to apply at head office, which has been the case with the COVID test benefit. All the applications come to us. With the normal benefits, they go to the labor centers, 126 or so labor centers throughout the country. I think the issue there has been that, one, remember we had shut down the doors, even though we were working behind the scenes. Mm. That has been the issue. And secondly, not everybody was working, but we had made the online system available for normal benefits. And I think the main issue has been with the people who are already drawing the benefit from the UIF, who had to come and sign every month, where a person would normally walk into a labor center, sign and get his or her money after 2 days. So this time around, they were unable to do that.
Yes.
In spite of the fact that we had made some arrangements, we had waived some of the conditions where a person was to walk in. We said, okay, if we know you that you are due for payment, will automatically pay you. but the system was built in such a way that the next payment has to be triggered by a form that is submitted. So now we had to get somebody who will do that on behalf of the client so that the system triggers payment. So that is why there's some of these frustrations. But we have been processing the claims, the normal claims. We did not ignore them as such.
Right.
So, but those were some of the challenges. Mm.
So today is essentially the deadline for employees to apply for assistance through their employers, of course, for the TERS scheme. Is this government's final word? Has the scheme come to an end today? And what about for those people who are still awaiting payment since April? What happens with them and their money?
So those who are still awaiting payments, we do have a liability. We are going to pay them. Everybody who has applied, and at the end of it all, we receive the outstanding information and the documents, and the information is verified. Ultimately, we are going to pay them.
Mm.
I'm talking about those who have been waiting from April, May, and June when we open the 15th. So we're going to honor our obligation.
Yes.
We will definitely pay all of those outstanding issues. What we're not going to do is taking your applications beyond June, because
right.
The directives were very specific that this is assistance is only for 3 months.
Hmm. So notwithstanding some of the challenges that we've discussed, the task of paying the kind of money that's been paid out in a matter of months has been a mammoth one. What role players have been working behind the scenes to make this possible, including the UIF? Have you been working with the private sector?
We've worked with the private sector, but the main stakeholder here has been the NEDLAC partners, business, labor, all the social partners in NEDLAC. They
yes.
have been behind this. We've also worked with SARS in terms of verification, some of the claims. We've worked with even Home Affairs in terms of assisting us with the validation of the information from the foreign national workers.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also worked with, we've been assisted in terms of the call center. We've got, we've received support from Harambee. So, and we've, there's quite a number of companies that have really assisted us in terms of making these huge payments possible.
Hmm. And then one last word, when you reflect on the past 3 months and this massive initiative, what would you give yourselves out of 10?
Considering that UIF is not a national disaster fund, UIF is designed for unemployment benefits. So
mm-hmm.
we've had to put the system within a very short space of time. And normally per year, we pay close to 15 billion. And to date, we paid close to 30 billion. And once the June operations, the system opens, obviously we're going to exceed the 40 billion. We anticipate to exceed the 40 billion that we have set aside.
Mm.
So when we weigh that against, obviously, the efficiency of the payments and the fact that we still have people who have not received their payments. But I must commend us, because there is no insurance company out there that will pay anyone if they don't pay any premium. And most people who are outstanding that we have not paid, their companies were not registered, their companies did not declare them, and they were not paying the premium.
Mm.
But all the same, we said, we understand the plight of the workers. You can submit their claim, you can submit their declaration, we will pay as the UIF. So I will give us a modest 7 out of top 10 in terms of the rating.
Fair enough. Thanks so much, Marco Sonke, for your time. That was Makosonke Buthelezi. He's the spokesperson at the UIF.